Welcome to the Startup Dentist Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Trutter. After over 800 plus successful dental startups, I'm here to share everything I know about starting a profitable and purposeful dental practice with you. In each episode, we get right to the core of what it takes to launch and grow a successful dental practice. So whether you've just started researching dental startups, or you've been sitting on the fence for a while, this podcast is your personal roadmap to your very own dental practice. Let's get into it. Today, we are going to be diving into answering this question, when am I ready to be a practice owner? And today, what I want to do is attempt to answer the question, which is, when am I ready? And am I ready? And, you know, over the last 19 years, I probably have had this question many, many times over. And today, I want to be able to give clarity and direction to those who are sitting around as associates, or maybe even as dental school students, as D3s, D4s, thinking about like, when am I going to be ready? When is the element? So today I want to be able to answer those questions. I got a little bit of a cold, so hang with me here today, folks, to be able to deliver some really great wisdom and give you some great direction on this particular topic. And I've got kind of, I want to divide this up into three parts. And I think the three parts are going to be this. There's going to be the tangible elements of like, what are the tangible things that you need to do in order to be ready to be a practice owner? The second part, well, is the intangible. I want to be able to give clarity on some of the intangible elements that are there. And then the third element I'm going to talk to is the best case, worst case scenario for each and every one of you. So let's jump right in. So over almost 20 years of doing this, over 800 plus startup practices as of this date, over 850 probably, and I want to be able to give clarity on when am I going to be ready. Now, I will say this, there will not be that moment that the seas part, the skies open for each and every one of you that says, wow, today is the perfect day to become a practice owner. I think there's going to be elements that are going to build up inside of you, some of the skills that are going to build up that are going to give you clarity on when is that right time for you? But I'll just answer this question really quickly and say there will never be a perfect time. I was on a vision call about a week ago with one of our new clients. Her name is Dr. Pooja. And we were talking about this particular topic of like being ready. And we were talking about having children. I have three daughters. Many of you have probably heard this before. And we were talking about, she just had a child about a month and a half ago as of this time. And, you know, we talked about like, you're never ready to be a parent. So as those as parents are like, is there ever that perfect time? Like sometimes you just like, cool, you dive in and you do it. And there was never that perfect time. You could read all the books about being a father or a parent. You could do all the different things. When it comes to a practice owner, there are some things you can prepare for, but there's never going to be that perfect time. There's just going to be the time that you take action on this. Now, the other topic that Dr. Pooja and I were talking about last on her vision call was, I talked about her quote unquote checkered past, and it was not like a checkered past in terms of from her employment perspective. And it wasn't like checkered, like bad for her. We had a good laugh about this. She had worked in corporate dentistry. She had worked in a private practice. It was a fee-for-service practice. And she said, you know, the owner, A, wasn't ready for an associate. B, doesn't have the systems in place. And I think C, like, well, you know, he still wanted to do the majority of the larger procedure. So maybe for you, that sounds a little bit very, very familiar. But as I was talking with her about this checkered past, it wasn't like it wasn't checkered like she was a bad employee. It was more like, man, it was kind of clunky. Like every position was just a little bit off. And I said to her, I said, you know, there's a lot of times, and maybe this will resonate with each and every one of you, there are so many things you can learn as an associate that you can bring over into your own practice, whether that is, whether you start up a practice from scratch or if you acquire a practice, there's a lot of things you can bring over and a lot of things you can learn. I think there's also the element of the things you know you don't want to have in your own practice by working for others. So I think pull upon some of those elements that are there. So the three parts I want to talk about are this tangible, intangible, and best case, worst case scenario. So let's jump into, I'm kind of going into the tangible element and some of those tangible elements. And I'll call this, and I'll even divide this up into three parts. Experience, money, and vision. Experience, money, and vision. So I was kind of touching on the experience part. From a tangible perspective, like let's talk about banks and what people will typically want. And I'll talk about like my own personal advice to each and every one of you. There is the experience side of things. The experience, what I mean is being an associate, working in different environments, whether that was a private practice owner, whether that's corporate dentistry. I think the experience is so invaluable for your own vision, which is kind of the third element. So this experience is going to give you a couple of different things. Number one, it's going to give you the ability of earning income. So let's talk about banks for a moment and say banks want you, well, to have the experience, which then leads into number two, which is you got some money. And I'll talk to a little bit more about that in a moment. The experience that you're going to gather as an associate will give you so much information about, maybe it's the experience of working for a senior doctor. Maybe you had a great, maybe you have a great experience. Maybe you're working for a mentor that you're learning a lot of things. Maybe it's clinical experience. Maybe it's increasing your hand speed. I think it's admirable for those who say, when I come out of dentist school, I want to be a practice owner. I think that's great. But I think having some, and that's very much the exception. In over 850, again, I'm losing count, startups I've been a part of in my career, I can count on probably one hand how many have come right out of dental school to become practice owners from a startup perspective. They were going back to their own hometowns, rural areas in some cases, or working for like, a lot of times family and things like that, a part of that scenario. So it's very, very, it's a very, very small slice of the pie. So I want you to gather experience from working for others. You see the interaction of what you're getting from working with other teams, working in different environments. Corporate has a lot of times has great systems. You can learn a lot from those environments. Private practice, you learn what that environment looks like. So gather with your mind, gather with your experience in order to do that. So I think the experience is great. And which leads to number two, which is having funds. Banks want you to have funds. My company works with some of the largest dental specific lenders out there. I was formerly employed by one of the dental specific lenders out there. And so I could tell you the banks want you to have some cash reserves. They want you to have about 5 to 10%. So I'll just kind of aim at the higher end of that and say, have about 10% in cash reserves. So in that environment today, let's say if it's 5 to 10%, you are looking at somewhere between about $40,000 and about $75,000 that you would need to have, what I would say, in liquid assets. So this is talking about having those funds. That's what banks are looking for. Not necessarily with the right banks, not necessarily having to inject into obtaining your loan, but having the rainy day fund. Keep in mind, having that rainy day fund is also going to be very invaluable to you, because there is going to be a transition period where you are transitioning from working in many cases as a full-time associate into working as a part-time associate, building up your new practice. So having those funds available, having the second element here of the tangible elements, the money element available, is going to put you in a best position. So if you're thinking about like, what are the tangible things you need to have? Number one, just recap. Have the experience, gather experience from working in different environments. Number two, having the funds available, having those liquid funds that are available for your own personal need, you know, for the rainy day fund, but also for the banks, because the banks are also going to want to have this. Also, banks are wanting to have experience. Most banks, again, I'm going to say most banks want you to have at least 1 year of associate experience in most cases. Now, that is mostly the exception to the rule, usually is specialists, because you've already been gone through dental school. Now you're into residency. That usually is the exception to that rule. Most okay. So I'm kind of talking to the general dentist out there and saying, experience typically 12 months. So can you apply under that 12 months? Yes, but generally speaking, they're going to want you to have at least 12 months of experience. Having the money, having those changeable elements there, start saving now. If you have student loans, I understand. Maybe some of you are sitting on very large student loan debt. Resist the urge to paying those down really, really quickly if your plan in the next, let's say, 3 to 5 years is to be a practice owner. Because banks will much rather you have debt and cash than none of each. So don't think if you got $400,000 in student loans, like a bank's never going to look at you. Yes, they will. But the bank may look at you adversely if it's like you don't have any savings, but you're like, man, I'm trying to pay down my student loan debt, or I refinanced out of IBR or these repay options and things like that. If you are in some sort of income-based repayment option, stay there, make the minimum payments, get the cash reserves. Banks will look at you more favorably than those that maybe have like ripped down a bunch of student loan debt and goes to the bank and says, here's my personal financial statement, which is a document that says, what do you have and what do you owe? Assets versus liabilities. And if the asset side it looks really, really small, again, you don't have a lot of liquid assets, the banks may look unfavorably on you. So cash reserves. The third element in the tangible element is vision. Now, I'm going to talk in a future episode on really developing vision, but let's talk about vision from the experience perspective of the kinds of patients. So the challenge with not having experience will be a challenge when it comes to what do you want to have in your own practice? If you don't know the kinds of, or don't have the experience in the kinds of procedures, if you don't know the kinds of patients that you love, it's going to be really hard to describe what you want to have. It'd be like going to a travel agent and saying, you know what, book me the best cruise there is. There's hundreds of cruises. There's hundreds of destinations. So by working in an environment, don't look at it and say, well, man, I just don't want to work for somebody. Yep, I get it. That's why you're listening here, because you want to become a practice owner. Formulating your vision of things that you like and dislike, especially the kinds of patients. We call it the ideal patient profile. Very specific elements that say, these are kind of the patients, those things. So working in those environments, that experience lends into vision and kinds of visions that you want to have. You probably can think of maybe three patients that you absolutely love. Think about that. So maybe don't do this if you're driving, but think about it maybe when you get home. Think about some of those, like those three patients that you absolutely love. Think about like kind of their profile, who they are, age, things like that. Maybe even like income elements and things, and just kind of think about like, they might be very, very similar. You may say, wow, I really love, you know, 30 to 50 year olds, or I like, oh man, I like that 60 plus, or maybe, you know, to formulate some of that, because that's going to be lending itself, because vision lends into things like, where do you want to go open your practice? Demographics. What kind of marketing do you need to have for your future practice? That all ends in that, because marketing for a 65-year-old male is way different than marketing to a 30-year-old mother of three. Way different marketing strategy. So this experience lends into future vision of what you want to have and what you know you don't want to have. So talking about Dr. Pooja again, she learned a lot in some of those environments. She said valuable of what I wanted to have in my own practice, but also very valuable was, I know what I don't want to have. I know how I don't want to treat my patients. I know how I don't want to treat my team. All those things you're gathering with that experience lends into that third element of vision. Cool. All right. Let's talk about some intangible elements. And I'll kind of divide those up and say, let's talk about community. Let's talk about working for others and lack of control and freedom. I'll say this. If you're sitting there thinking about like, am I ready? If you're going in every day feeling like you're working for somebody else's retirement plan, it's time. If you feel like you lack freedom and control of how you treat your team, how you treat your patients, how kind of freedom and control over your schedule, the kinds of patients, the procedures you want to do, it is time to take that leap. when I think about the community connection, I talk about the intangible element because so many people think, wow, if I become a practice owner, how do I get patients through the door? Yep, there's a whole marketing strategy. You know, we talk about that. The best implementers and those that I would say hustle create some of the biggest success stories that we've been a part of here at Ideal Practices. And I say that because, I think about even in a previous life, probably this, boy, this goes back almost 15 plus years ago, kind of the aha moment, and even in my career here in the dental industry. And it was a dentist. I'll say her name was Dr. Anna, I believe, outside of Washington, D.C. in the Northern Virginia market. And she probably had one of the fastest startups I had seen at that time in my career where, you know, I was selling cogs basically. And, you know, I was in the lending business. And so my focus is more on the lending, not necessarily like the business aspect of things. But I just remember like, wow, boy, she had some crazy growth in a competitive area. And the funny thing was, I knew her former employer. He was a dentist, very successful, had multiple practices, many associates. And I was working with him on some expansion elements and things like that. And I remember her former employer when he said, oh, yeah, did you work with her and help her start her practice? I said, yeah. She said, well, how's she doing? I said, unbelievable. I said, at the time, this is almost 15 years ago, where, you know, doing $1 million in her first year was like, whoa, that's crazy. In today's environment, you hear about that quite a bit. At the time, it was like, wow, that's unheard of. And he said something to me that has stuck with me for all these years. And he said, you know what's funny? When she worked for me, she probably wasn't the best dentist. I was like, whoa. That was kind of like my aha moment that said, wait a minute. This is not just about like clinical dentistry. This is about being a business owner. So that doesn't mean be a bad dentist. What I'm saying is it's about like stepping outside of that comfort zone, because when you become a practice owner, you will step outside of a comfort zone. You will need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Maybe you say, well, how am I going to connect with people in the community? It's not that hard, because guess what? You do it every single day. Somebody sits in front of you in a chair that has placed a lot of trust in you to do healthcare, dental care on them. You make connections with them. It is about getting in the community. It's about really working hard, hustling, first, especially those first couple of years of a startup. It's all about like having a growth mindset, not about like, okay, how am I going to save myself to prosperity? It's about like having that growth mindset of how do I go out? How do I make community connections? How do I connect with other business owners? How do I connect with people in my community in order to build this following of patients that love me and make that connection there? Driving large numbers of patients, but also reviews and things like that. So I'll just say like the best implementers are the largest success stories that I've seen. Those that go out and focus on growth, making connections in the community, really having this growth mindset of like, I'm not stepping into practice ownership to not fail, but I'm stepping into it with a mindset of I'm going to work so hard to make this happen. I'm going to be absorbed into it. If I have an hour or two off, or I have like, if my Fridays are open, I'm making connections in the community. I'm out there. I'm going out there and marketing myself to drive new patients. I think about one of our clients, his name is Dr. Jordan. He referred to himself as a McDentist, which he said, everything just felt like a transaction. If that's you, time to take the leap. If you feel like you're just like in this transaction mode of like, I'm not really serving my patients on a high level, I'm just kind of going through the motions. In his case, he felt like I was trying to do great dentistry, but I was governed by like this corporate model, which was spreadsheet driven model. Like I got papers here, spreadsheets, we must drive profit. And he's like, yeah, I need to be a profitable dentist. But at the same time, I want to be able to take time with my patients. I want to be able to do more comprehensive care. And he said, I just felt like I was in a wheel, almost like working as a McDentist, a transaction just pumping out, you know, from a patient perspective. The other element is the control and freedom. How many of you listening today feel like you don't have control? That you don't have freedom? Maybe you're even driving really far away in order to do this. If it's that's the case, then it's time to take this leap. Now, what I want to do is think about the best case and worst case scenario. When I'm at our course, I always talk about a date. And so if you're listening 18 months from today, so think about like where you can be 18 months from today. Think about like 18 months ago, where you were. There's a saying, I think as we get older, they say the days feel long, but the years go fast. Yes, I have teenagers, amazing teenagers, and two of them, and then a third preteen, which is almost like a teenager, crazy. I look back and go, oh my gosh, we have to start talking about colleges now. It's crazy. So what I want you to do is think about like in the past 18 months, where have you been? So the best case in a worst case scenario is this. So 18 months from today, I want you to imagine whatever that date is. So whatever you're listening to this, think about 18 months from today, you can be in your own practice. The worst case scenario is 18 months from today, you do nothing. You take no meaningful steps forward. And another year, year and a half passes. You keep thinking, I need to be a practice owner. I haven't taken the leap. Maybe you've been looking for practices of purchase. Listen, I am not anti-acquisition. I think an acquisition is fantastic. Obviously, I'm a pro startup person, but I don't sell against the idea of acquiring a practice. But the challenge in a lot of times, especially in the environment in we are today, is so many of our clients, I can think about like probably many of you, have probably been looking for practices for a year, 2 years, maybe even 3 years. I would say draw a line in the sand, wherever you're at, and say, define when you want to become a practice owner. It can happen in 18 months. Sometimes it'd be shorter, but I just like to use 18 months as a date in mind. Think about 18 months from today, where you can be. Have you taken meaningful steps forward? The worst case scenario is, nope. Guess what? You still have no control. You still have no freedom. If you don't have the funds available. So like, again, even back to the tangible elements, back to getting that experience in 18 months, you could be opening your doors if you take meaningful steps forward today. The best case scenario is you could be opening your doors. If you take meaningful steps forward 18 months from today to becoming a practice owner. So I want to leave you with this. Think about the tangible elements. So I'll kind of recap here and say tangible elements, 5 to 10% in savings, cash, liquid assets, 5 to 10% non-retirement. Experience, do you have, let's say, 12 months of experience if you're a general dentist? Have you formulated even some ideas of the vision that you want to have, the kinds of patients you want to have? The intangible, are you there at that place where you feel like, I am tired of building somebody else's net worth. I'm tired of being a McDentist. I'm tired of having no control or freedom. And I'm ready to work really hard to becoming a practice owner. If that's you, think about 18 months from today where you can be. I hope this was enlightening. I hope for some of you, this gives you some great thought moving forward. I look forward to hearing your stories and delivering some great new information and some great startup guidance here in the next episodes. I will chat with you soon. Take care. Bye-bye. As we wrap up this episode, take a moment to picture yourself a year from now. Are you still in your associateship? Or are you rocking it at your own dental practice, creating beautiful smiles and making a real difference? If that's the dream, it's time to chase it. Before we split, make sure to hit subscribe, drop a review, and give us your rating. It helps us keep bringing you the good stuff that you're into. Until we meet again, keep taking that next step towards your future practice. Here's to investing in your dreams and making them a reality.